Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
This is The Science Show, now in its 32nd year. Well, this week the journal Nature carried news that the potential rise in sea levels around the world has been underestimated, so we can expect floods to be more severe than expected as a result of climate change. Well, it's already happening, as Naomi Fowler reports from a sinking Britain.
I was sitting at my desk talking to someone and I glanced up briefly and saw something that I can only describe as looking like a scene out of The Wizard of Oz out of my window. And I said, oh my God, and I stood up for a second and looked at this thing that was swirling around in the air, picking up, you know, literally sort of huge and big bits of debris and stuff like that. And I said, oh my God, and I just dived under my desk.
Yeah. We don't actually know whether our property is safe to actually live in. We've got little children. Our chimney's broken, all the slates come off. We've got
I think I'm homeless, at least for a month or so. Wow. So here's most of our roof, and probably some of the roofs from across the street.
But just to say that the air that we had today was extremely unstable. The wind speeds from that in that vortex were around 130 miles per hour. But there is a motoring warning out at the moment of heavy downpour, spray on roads, dangerous driving conditions, and strong winds
around. In the streets around Whitmore Gardens, emergency services have moved aside. Clear up and repair teams have taken their place. Over 100 properties were hit by the storm. The priority was to allow residents back to those declared safe. No one yet knows the total cost. Structural engineers and loss adjusters face many more hours of work
yet. Yes, Kyle Cohen was in a Moseley pub when he saw a woman fly past the window, he says, while another gentleman says it was like a scene from the film The Day After Tomorrow.
So it really is a bad year for tornadoes at the moment. That's it from us. I hope you're safe. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Tornadoes, flooding, phenomenal rainfall increases, receding coastline and rising sea levels. There's a lot to be worried about for the British these days, and there's plenty of alarming statistics. The warmest alpine winter for 1,300 years, 2006, Britain's warmest year since records began back in 1659, all 10 of Britain's warmest years ever in the last 18 years. For the sun-obsessed Brits, this might all sound quite enticing, but the irony is that drought conditions in the summer give way to the opposite problem the rest of the year: too much water. The effect for some is the ground is literally falling away beneath their feet, and their homes are going with it.
That's about to go, I'd say. Careful, don't get too close. Can you see that little tension crack there? That's a fresh fall there. That's fallen recently. This is where the school buses were coming to until very, very recently.
We're walking along the cliffs on the northeast England coast. Mike Ball is principal engineer for the East Riding of Yorkshire. He's just had to close this public road because the seas eroded the cliffs right up to it.
Oh gosh.
You can see the cliff there is quite steep, so that is quite unstable really. You can see how the tension cracks are developing down that front face, and some of the material is what we call yielded, so it's lost its strength. So that length there is very vulnerable, and we expect that to go in the coming days and weeks. The barrier here is what we believe is a safe position for it at the moment. There's a house over there called Cliff Farm, which is in a very precarious situation.
Is someone actually living there? That house looks like it's just going to go.
Yes, yes. Colleagues at the council have actually discussed with them the safety aspects of living where they do, not only for themselves but also for people walking on the beach, because brickwork and whatever could actually fall off the property down the cliff, and the council has a responsibility for anyone on the beach. So that's a particularly serious situation.
How long do you think that house is going to last?
It's difficult to say really. If that was my house, I wouldn't be living in it at the moment. It's very, very soon really they've got to get out of there from a safety point of view. You know, it's very unfortunate because, as things are at the moment, they have to vacate the house, and to add insult to injury, they have to actually pay for the cost of its demolition.
So this has got to be one of the cheapest houses on the market in the whole of Britain.
I think it would tax even the most imaginative estate agent to think of something good to say about that. You know,
yeah.
Sea views, yeah. this is Alborough. The cliffs are quite high here, they're about 20 metres, and they're very unstable, as you can see to the right there, how the cliffs have slumped down. Just in front of us, a tarmac road, and you've got, it's like a terrace now, the road has become a terrace instead of being a flat surface, and the terraces are separated by almost a metre in vertical height. The cliff has just settled in the last few months. In fact, here, last Christmas, a 12 metre section of cliff suddenly slumped one evening, and the house next to it was cracked through the middle, went through the middle of the front door, so the occupier had to abandon the property and actually pay for its demolition. It almost looks like an earthquake zone. You have to be careful with your foot in there, Naomi.
Oh, right, okay. So we're just kind of climbing over all the debris of where there once was a house.
Ah, yes. To go.
Yes.
So this area will go next.
Yeah.
Over the coming years, decades, these houses will go one by one. And at the moment, there's no system in place for recompense. It's all very sad.
Mike Ball's not a popular man here, and neither is the local council he works for. These residents want flood defences built, but the cost of coastal protection is high. From $12,500 to $17,500 Australian dollars a linear metre. That's about $12.5 million Australian dollars a kilometre. More densely populated and higher value property and industry in the south has already and will almost certainly benefit again from such schemes. But the argument is that here it's not money well spent when there's such a need to spend on the health service and other public sector areas. The local council gets no monies from government to be able to implement any kind of compensation scheme either. It's issues like this that may come to dominate the politics of the future when you consider that more than 26 million people live in major urban areas on the coast and 40% of UK manufacturing industry is situated on or near the coast. Not only that, but 57% of our most productive agricultural land lies in vulnerable areas. So do we know how much worse things are going to get? Dr. Chris West is director of the UK Climate Impacts Programme. The government funded them to coordinate predictions on the impacts of climate change in Britain.
The climate we will get over the next 30 or 40 years has almost all been determined already by emissions that we've created in the past. So for the next 30 or 40 years, we've got one climate future to look at. And then the climate futures start to diverge depending really on what we choose to do now, whether we choose to go on emitting more and more greenhouse gases or whether we start controlling greenhouse gases. I think people have built up this expectation that science will give you an absolute answer. People take decisions based on very patchy, feeble, messy information all the time. And yet they expect climate information to be exact. And I think that's a nonsense. We use four separate scenarios of future climate in the UK for this current century. People come to us and they say, what's the most likely? And we can't tell them that. They say, well, what's the worst case? And we can't tell them that either. All we can do is say, look, here's a range of possible futures. It's up to you to plan for these futures. The Earth hasn't experienced the temperatures we're going to get in the next century for possibly a million years. So the danger that we stray from conditions that we know something about into conditions we've never experienced before. One of the nasty surprises that we could be facing is both the Greenland ice sheet and the West Antarctic ice sheet have the potential to melt faster than we anticipate. And either of those could add 6 or 7 metres to sea level. So if we face that sort of sea level rise, then there are very, very serious political, economic and social impacts for the whole world.
Let's say the climatologists are right and the world's already committed to a metre rise in sea levels. We Brits can only expect the erosion of our coastline to accelerate if, as predicted, this century sees wind speeds 6 to 7% stronger. That means a 15% increase in wave height. And that causes a level of storm damage that's a whopping 60% higher than it is now. Add to all that the phenomenal rainfall we're getting, and we get a very alarming increase in coastal and river flooding.
At this stage, climate change is forcing some insurers to put up their premiums.
Malcolm Tarling of the Association for British Insurers.
In the last 5 years, UK insurance companies have paid out double on weather-related claims than they paid out in the previous 5 years, and that's around £6 billion in total. We have not got to the situation yet where insurance is difficult to obtain because of the impact of climate change. However, that is the risk that we face unless we all take actions collectively now to address the problem.
Do you think the government is listening to you?
The government in the last 5 years have taken on board the concerns of the insurance industry. They have started to take this issue much more seriously. They've invested more money in flood defences, although there is still a long way to go. Only recently we saw a disappointing reduction in the government's budget for dealing with flood defences. It's been reduced in 2006-2007 by £15 million. We want to see that downward trend reversed. We do need sustained investment in protecting Britain's homes and businesses from the rising flood risk.
The Association of British Insurers actually wants to see government spending on flood defences to rise by 10% a year to $1,874 billion Australian dollars by 2011. I wonder if today's insurers would advise their children to go into the insurance business. There's much controversy over flood defences too, not least because by fixing one problem on one vulnerable spot, you can cause flooding further along the coastline by disturbing the natural movement of sediment. Climate change expert Professor James Curran has long grappled with the many dilemmas in a search for possible solutions.
We need to adopt policies which allow us to pursue managed retreat. I think that's inevitable over large lengths of our coastline. But at the moment, we simply don't have the management processes in place to allow us to do that effectively. And we urgently need some joined up acting. And I think it needs to come through fairly rapidly that we have the statutory powers available. We need local authorities to have compulsory purchase powers so that they can buy up at a fair compensation rate properties that are at risk of flooding, both in the coastal situation and alongside rivers, and simply demolish them and remove them and allow coastlines to revert to a more natural morphology, which is very, very good at absorbing storm surges and storm waves and is also very good actually for promoting biodiversity and ultimately is a much, much cheaper flood defence mechanism than throwing up more and more and longer and higher concrete walls and defences. But when we think about some of our major cities, it seems inevitable that we're going to have to protect them. And I haven't been in favour of it in the past, but you begin to think that maybe we need to put flood barriers across some of our major estuaries. You think, okay, maybe we have to face up to some damage to the ecosystems of our tidal estuaries in order to protect our major conurbations. But quite importantly, at the same time, use those flood barriers to generate tidal energy, which can offset electricity generated by coal or gas or oil, and therefore actually help mitigate climate change. So you get added benefit protecting the cities as well as generating renewable energy. So I think it's horses for courses.
Dr. Chris West, the UK Climate Impact Programme.
We're treading into the unknown a little here. A lot of people are just not good at using powerful probabilistic information. So information about a future quantity with a probability attached to it. There are some people, water companies, engineers, who can use that information and they're familiar with the techniques. A lot of other people probably need quite a bit of guidance on exactly what these numbers mean. That's our big challenge, is to write that guidance. Like a lot of people working with climate change, I sort of oscillate wildly from optimism to pessimism. There are still going to be very, very serious impacts. Look 100 years into the future, and I think by that time we will have adapted to a changing climate. The problem is knowing when we will address it.
When indeed. This is Naomi Fowler in London for The Science Show.